This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What's trending?
What's trending here on Cody and Gold, presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Well, the Royals have a workout day today at Kauffman Stadium ahead of tomorrow's opening day. The public workout today, 3 o'clock. It is open. Again, you can go out there if you want to check out the Royals. Maybe you can't make it to opening day, but you're free this afternoon. Also, we asked the question yesterday, like, hey, who's throwing out the first pitch? We have our answer. The Royals have announced that it'll be Willie Wilson and Lorenzo Cain, as this year they're going to be celebrating the 40-year anniversary of 85.
Woo!
And, of course, the 10-year anniversary of the 2015 world champion Royals. So those are two big names throwing out the first pitch tomorrow.
No, I like that. A perfect way to do it. Obviously, I don't want to wait.
Are you surprised it's Willie Wilson and not Frank White? Are you?
No. No? Okay. Can't say, even though Frank White is has a statue out there and at the outfield.
I'm surprised it's
not
him.
You think that thing's going to get lost on the moving truck?
No, it's one of those things, like, you slap the fragile sticker on it, handle with care, but, if something happens, something happens. That's kind of where it's
still no anthem for Cody?
The moon, no.
Still no anthem for Cody.
No anthem for me. I got to reach out to the Savannah Bananas, remember, for that one. Next up on What's Trending, the NFL announced that they will look at two more things for the competition committee hearing next week. That includes kickoffs and looking at the possibility of having them start at the 35 and allowing you to declare an onside kick at any point in the game, not just in the fourth quarter, and for expanded replay. It includes things like roughing the passer, face mask, additional horse collar penalties, etc. Again, I'm for less replay, not more, but they want to look at some of those personal foul penalties as being reviewable.
Elsewhere, how about a big contract this late in free agency? Did not expect Stephon Diggs to get a 3-year deal with the Patriots worth up to $69 million. Now, keyword up to, this is one of those where the agent gets in contact with Adam Schefter or whatever, and it sounds great. 3 years, $69
million. If he has 2,000 yards and wins 8 Super Bowls, he'll get that $69 million.
But it is a large number, potentially, and the Patriots have a lot of cap space. Their quarterback is entering his second year. You have a brand-new head coach. You need to surround him with talent. Stephon Diggs is a veteran that you can bring in the locker room. Has had plenty of success, even if it's towards the end of his career. And I still think they're going to draft a wide receiver. Maybe you think that's Travis Hunter or somebody else, if he can get some special packages to also play corner. But Stephon Diggs, another veteran wide receiver off the board.
Next up on What's Trending, New Mexico head coach Richard Pitino. He's taken off and has agreed to a deal to become the next head coach at Xavier. That means he'll be in the same conference as his dad.
That's awesome.
That's a bit weird,
that's
right?
Cool. Well, that's cool. That's
Rick
great.
And Richard Pitino in a conference together. They got to play a couple of games against each other every year.
That's fun.
To get dinner after? How's this work?
I'm sure. Yeah. That's fun, though. Remember, this is because Sean Miller took the Texas job. If you're wondering, why is he leaving New Mexico? Like, is New Mexico a better job or Xavier a better job? Well, New Mexico is still in the Mountain West, and they're about a year or so away from having multiple members of the Mountain West leave to join that new Pac-12. And New Mexico was not invited. Like, Boise State and these other schools got invited to join the new Pac-12. New Mexico didn't. So they were going to be left behind in this whatever makeup of the Mountain West. So if you're Richard Pitino, like, yes, Xavier is a better job. You're in the Big East.
Yeah, they're in an actual conference, an actual basketball conference. Yeah.
For basketball,
for
it is.
For basketball,
yeah.
It is. Totally. Yeah. For basketball and football, you get one extra basketball conference, obviously, in basketball.
Lastly, don't forget, Vern will be hosting a Q&A roundtable Friday night. Hope to see everybody at Hollywood Casino. Friday, 6 o'clock. Hollywood Casino. There'll be a meet and greet afterwards, but Michael Massey, Kyle Isbell, going to answer some questions from Vern, talk about this Royal season. And then, yeah, if you go out there, you can meet and greet those guys. Everybody from the station will be there. Should be a great time, hopefully after a 1-0 start to the 2025 season. But that's Friday night. Got to be 21 or older, right? A lot of people have been asking. You do have to be 21 or older. It is at a casino, so hope to see you guys Friday.
It's going
to
be a great time. Hopefully, again, like you said, see everybody out there. For a cool event, the day after opening day, and the weather still looks like it's going to be warm for opening day. For the first time, it feels like in years. I don't know, man. Yeah. It's rare that you get like a mid-70s, almost 80 opening day weather. And you and I are not going to complain at all based on a couple of the ones we've had here recently. So I can't blame you. Don't forget, the lunch hour here at 96.5 The Fan on Wednesdays is brought to you by Jefferson's. They're happy hour here to save you money. 7 days a week, enjoy half off appetizers, half off your bar tab at Jefferson's in Lenexa and in North Kansas City. Half off your bar tab at both locations during happy hour. Whether you're coming out to a game or looking for a good place to meet up with family and friends, you know that we are big supporters of Jefferson's in Lenexa, North Kansas City. Wings for a year for the person who finishes first in our bracket challenge. Plus, they just got great wings. So if you're looking for wings, burgers, oysters, see our friends at Jefferson's.
So the Royals get the 2025 season started tomorrow against the Guardians. Workout day, as we said, and what's trending is later on this afternoon. The team flew home from Texas where they had a couple exhibition games to really put a wrap on the entire spring training, and now it's full go for the season. You guys can text us in as well, because everybody has a prediction or their biggest, boldest take about this team. Whether it's a player's performance, whether it's how the team's going to finish, I want you guys to text in. You've got it on your mind. 913-586-7965 on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. 913-586-7965. For me, I'm going with someone in the bullpen. I think this is fairly bold, but I don't think it's like completely out of the realm of possibility. Carlos Estevez will have a career high in saves and be an all-star for the 2025 Royals. You're like, okay, where is this coming from? One, he will get the first crack at being a closer. And you say, well, they're not going to just use one guy. I agree, but I think Lucas Hursek will be more of the guy that puts out the fires randomly, whether it's the sixth inning, whether it's the eighth inning. I think the opportunities are going to be there, first of all, for Carlos Estevez.
He's been an all-star before, right?
He has. He cut his walk rate down by 50% last year from the year before. The year that he was an all-star already, he had 31 saves. So I'm saying he needs 32 or more saves and an all-star berth for this bold take to come true. I don't think it's that crazy.
No. I look, the truth is, unless it'd have to go really, really, really bad for him not to be the closer for a long stretch of time for the Royals. And to what we mentioned before in the bullpen, he's protected a little bit. Like, he's not the only guy trying to hold it down in the pen. And we've seen that work anyway. We've seen guys like Soria, even in a bad bullpen outside of him, have success. So it's not saying it can't work. But this is the best bullpen they've had since, like, they had the dominant bullpens of the the 2015-2016 eras of Royals bullpen. This is the best one they've had on paper. We don't know how the regular season is going to go. So he should have plenty of opportunities to do it. Some of this, the only thing is like, you got to think they're getting to a certain win total if you think he's
for
doing
sure.
That.
And tomorrow, spoiler, my win total will be fairly aggressive. So
I mean, you got to think that he's getting at least that high. There are a lot of people I think that can land in this, and this is why I'm curious. Like from the 816, someone says Bubich will take over Waka as starter number 3. Earlier today, we saw people say that MJ or Renfro might be DFA'd. Now, this person on the 816 saying MJ is going to be smack 30 homers and have 80 plus RBI. That would be a bold Royals take for sure. I went out there on the offense too. I think Michael Massey's going to have a 25 home run season, and he's going to do it mostly from second base. I think it's important to note that now, because there was a long time this spring training, the early going, that I wasn't sure what the mix was going to look like in left, center, third, second. And I think as this shakes out, Massey will play the most games at second base for the entire Royals team this year. Indy will play the most games at third base for the Royals this year. And MJ will play the most innings in left field for the Royals this year, with Michael Garcia having to play a little center for Kyle Isbell, playing some third when India goes to second, etc. But I think Massey's in for a big year. I still believe in the, he got halfway through the season last year and then he stayed pretty healthy and he figured out a way to play through that back stuff. And I'm obviously, for this bold prediction to come true, not only does Massey just have to put more power on the plate, which he's capable of, he has to stay healthy. More than any of the other things, he just has to play to get to the 25. Yeah,
that's been the biggest obstacle. You know, that's been the biggest obstacle. I don't think that's a crazy one. It's definitely bold, but I don't think it's impossible. We'll keep reading your text. What about you, Drew? Sorry, you don't have your headphones on. My bad. When you get a second,
is he eating?
I don't know. There was some food in there.
Yeah, there was some food.
I'm getting podcasting stuff ready. I'm over here on the other desktop. I've already eaten. Anyways,
our old producer used to get caught eating a lot during the lunch hour.
I'm not going to come up to the mic, you know, lip smacking and everything like that. Just
Thank you for that.
I'm not going to come up licking my fingers.
It's such a terrible sound into a microphone.
Oh, yes.
What's your bold Royals 2025 take?
I think that Q is going to win manager of the year. I feel like the reason behind it, and look, I know that last year it feels like that would have been the year, and I think we all agree that he should have been, but I think the reason why Stephen Voit won it was because of him continuing the success that they had previously, where I think if Q goes back to back, let's say the Royals even enhance things a little bit more, they win the division, they win 90 plus games. I think it's enticing. It's even more enticing to put his name in the hat, because if you're voting for manager of the year, I don't think you can backtrack off of your team's been very successful. A new guy came in and was still very successful. Where
not based on last year with vote.
Correct.
Yeah.
The Royals, if Q puts back-to-back playoff appearing this year, a division winning season, I don't know how you can ignore that based on what you said last year in terms of voting and not vote him for manager of the year.
If they win the AL Central, he will be in the mix. No doubt. No doubt he'll be in the mix. I don't think it's an automatic, though. Like, hey, if he just wins the division, he will be the guy.
Sure.
I think there's always a surprise team in baseball. We don't, you know, I mentioned this earlier, like, hey, if the Red Sox end up winning the AL East, which I think they're going to, Alex Cora could be back in the mix again. You know, what's the win total discrepancy, right? They win the division at 90 wins or they win it with 96 wins? You know,
96 almost guarantees it.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So there's just a big discrepancy. Yeah. But that's a bold take. Yeah, that's what we're looking for. 913-586-7965. Someone else says Bobby Wood Jr., most stolen bases.
I also saw one say most home runs in all of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, he's 100-1 to do that.
You know, I was looking at him like, he'd have to increase his home run total by 30. And then I realized that Aaron Judge increased his by 30 from the year before, but he only played in 106 games
the
year before.
Judge is playing it in the Bronx, and Bobby Witt's playing at One Royal Way.
Well, he's definitely, if you're doing that, can you pair it up with MVP? Because if he hits the most home runs in Major League Baseball, you might as well go ahead and
parlay
that bad boy up. Sometimes they won't let you with season-long awards, but if they will, do it.
Someone else said their bold take for the season, because they don't always have to be positive, or some could be negative, I guess. This one's not negative necessarily. It just says 88 wins, wild card. Win wild card round, lose in the second round, similar to last year.
It's not that bold.
It's a leveled take, I think.
That seems like a leveled take.
Yeah, that's not a leveled take there.
Not hot. Lukewarm. From the 816, Drew Waters will become our starting center fielder in due time. What is it about Kyle Isbell? They really like the way he plays defense.
That's
Drew Waters has never been a... Drew Waters has never been a consistent bat either. So, like...
I don't know what that would look like. Like, I would be curious.
Injury.
It's a bold take.
I think it would take injury,
for a reason,
honestly.
Like,
don't you?
Yeah, but even then, like, is he the automatic? Are we sure he's the automatic guy that's going to center
field? No, they might just put Michael Garcia out there. I mean, I don't, you know. I think that's more than plausible.
Would a 90-72 record be considered bold?
I think so. 92 is quite a bit.
What did they do last year again?
86, right?
Okay.
Or am I off on that? 86, right? Yeah. 86? 2025?
86 and 76?
Yeah, 86.
I think that the AL is going to be a lot of
tomorrow.
Like,
we'll do our official
teams.
Look, That number, right around where I'm at, that the texter texted in. We recorded a video earlier in the week. I don't know if it's out yet for social with our window.
I almost want to change mine.
Really?
Yeah.
For up or lower from where you put in the video?
Higher.
From the 816, their hot take is Vinny gets a suspension for a punch on a bench brawl versus the Yankees. Do you know how hard I've been pushing for a bench brawl from this team? And Vinny's the least likely dude on the planet. Gentle giant, man. Vinny is not going to be the guy who starts the fight. Mikel Garcia, they got a couple of guys who might like... It's sort of for hell, a, even Salvi, for I remember punch.
I don't need Bobby, Vinny, or Salvi, or India throwing a punch and risking an injury. I'm good. Thank you very much.
Are there players you are willing to throw a punch?
I still some think more than others, yeah.
We've talked about in a WWE WrestleMania style, like Royal Rumble style, right? You got to toss him out of the ring. Our favorite on this show has largely been Kyle Isbell. If we're picking a
UFC
player on the Royals
fighter
to fight right now, mm-hmm, I still think Kyle Isbell looks like he can brawl.
Yeah, if there was an MMA fight at Kauffman Stadium, he would be first in the draft, I think, out of Royals players.
I agree. Now, there's other guys, just a unique level athlete.
Yeah, and there's others that are like, you know, bigger than, you know, than Kyle Isbell. But like I think what we've discussed, Kyle Isbell's the winner for that.
It's gonna be crazy. Yeah, I don't think any of ours are, like, look, all of them are.
Someone says Cags gets called up after All-Star break, takes the Royals to the ALCS. That's their bold take.
Carries them to the ALCS. Not them. Not Bobby.
Somebody earlier had said that their bold predictions that Cags was going to hit 15 home runs. I was like, when are you predicting he gets called up? Or you think he gets called up for the last 30 games of the year and pops 15 of them?
Yeah, because somebody responded on Twitter. Tom, TJF Sports on Twitter, said Jack hits 15 homers. That's
that means that when okay, so let's say
that
he
is bold. We're looking for bold. I get that. That is bold.
Let's say he comes up in August.
Uh huh.
That means he's got to be raking pretty good. I mean, he has
to be like when Ellie De La Cruz came to the league, and he's just like hitting a home run every other at bat.
Yeah, it's like every other day he's got one.
Yeah,
it seems unlikely. I don't want to say for sure. But
now someone else, one last one, says they predict the rotation gets riddled with injuries. They struggle to win 68 games.
Well, that's a depressing one. Oh, man.
That's bold. That's still bold.
It is bold, but I don't like it.
Yeah.
Makes me feel...
I appreciate the text, though.
It makes me feel bad.
That's your take, you know?
Yeah, I didn't ask for just good things. I said, I think Bobby is more likely this year to lead Major League Baseball in home runs than he has stolen bases.
So I
think he's more likely to do the home runs than the stolen bases. I'd actually take the odds on the homers instead. Mm. Because I think Bobby's hitting 40 home runs. I don't know if that's a bold take because he had 32 last year.
No, I could see that.
But I think Bobby's hitting 40 this year. I just don't think he's leading the majors. There were two guys who had 50 last year, Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
It's hard to imagine he's getting that number.
Last year, I had the ticket on Cole Reagans to lead the big leagues in strikeouts. He had 223 of them. He came up just short. Someone says that's their bet again this year. I don't know. I think last year was our best shot at it.
I've seen this text twice.
Okay.
The Royals are the last team to be shut out.
In baseball. So
in baseball.
However long that takes. Could be 2 months. Could be a month in the season. Whatever, right? Like, I mean, that's a fun one to keep an eye on. Like, even if they're losing a game, you're like,
you could lose it really quick.
You're just
get
like,
a run.
Get one run, please. Get a run. And then they're you're open for every other team to get shut out. I'd have to look. How long did that take last year for a team to get to be the last? Let's see. Last team shutout.
This person put some odds, but it's parlayed with Houston to win it all. So 165-1 is not the right odds. But somebody earlier when we discussed it, texted in. I forget the odds.
Last year it went till July 26th. The Diamondbacks were the only team that hadn't been shut out.
Who was the team before though?
Teams have been shut out 145 times a season. I'm not sure. This is from, in fairness, this is from a...
It went 4 months into the season.
This is from a Reddit thing. Most times shut out. The Giants, the Royals, by July 26th last year, the Royals were shut out 5 times. The Giants were shut out 2 times. The Diamondbacks, as by the time we got to July 26th, had not been shut out yet.
And they were the only team in baseball. So it might have ended sooner than that.
True. Very true. Very true. But that's fair. Yes.
Like it likely would have ended sooner by that if they're saying like... And look, the Royals
May 4th last year, there were 2 teams left.
In fairness, May 4th, you'd just be watching.
There were two teams left.
You'd be paying attention to like the Giants game, praying that they get shut out.
Yeah.
The Royals, in fairness for this bet, the Royals got shut out the 1, 2, 3, let's see, 8th least in all of baseball last year. So like it wasn't, you know, because the Diamondbacks ended up getting shut out 4 times last year by the time it was all said and done. The only teams who got shut out less than the Royals were the Giants, Phillies, Cardinals, Diamondbacks, Orioles, Astros, Dodgers, and Blue Jays. Everyone else got shut out either the same amount or more than them.
Yeah.
The White Sox got shut out an impressive.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
12 times. 12 times.
Oh, they sucked. They're
shut
still,
out, dude. I mean, they're still a professional
stink.
Baseball team.
I don't know if they're going to, you know, the White Sox could still be terrible. Maybe they can get to like 57
they got
wins.
Shut out
can
7
they get to 57
point?
Wins?
They got maybe. They got shut out 7.5% of the time. Shut out. And didn't score a run.
But I'm sure they'll be way better. They don't have Garrett. You know, they traded away such a terrible pitcher in Garrett Crochet, you know, to the Red Sox. So I'm sure that really will help their rotation.
Are we sure they're not going to be worse? Or just
yes,
as bad?
They will be
worse
bad.
Worse is hard.
They're not going to be worse. It was the historically, you know, bad baseball team. They won't be worse, but like they're not going to win 60-plus games.
No, they're not going to win in the 60s games. Mm-hmm. Like they're still going to be in the 50s.
Yeah, is that the way the White Sox have kind of always been? Either they're really good, like winning the World Series good, or they're really bad. I might be wrong.
They're
I don't
weird.
Know.
White they play in like the total. Sixth biggest market in Major League Baseball, and they act like the dinkiest little we have no money team.
Well, that's Reinsdorf and company, but 54.5 is the over-under for the White Sox.
I like the under.
So for reference, the Royals over-under is 82.5. The Tigers over-under is 83.5.
So what, 54 and 118? Is that is
they're
that
hurt by
the
fact that pretty much every other team in the division is respectable. Like yeah, there's tough. No there's no other like bad team for them to also get wins against in the AL Central. All the teams in the AL Central are decent.
For the record, I would if you made me bet, I would take the over on the White Sox win total.
Really? Why?
Because they can't be as bad as they were last year.
There's no
how many
way.
Did they win last year? Like 30?
Over under is 54
did
and a
they
half.
Get to 40 wins last year?
White Sox 2024
I could take the over and still think that they get a 10 win improvement. Or
they
the under
41 and 121.
So I can take they can improve by 10 wins and I can still take the under.
Mm-hmm.
And they lost their best starting pitcher.
They did. Yeah, Garrett Crochet is a member of the Red Sox now.
What hold on. Is 41 is that was probably close to the worst record in Major League Baseball history then, correct?
Correct.
I mean, that was
yep.
right
it
there.
It was the worst
that
record.
That was the whole
was
thing.
The worst? Okay.
That was the whole thing.
Okay.
Yeah, for 162-game season,
I was
it
like
was
41 and 121, that's got to be depressing. Just I know you love
I
baseball.
Wouldn't even, I wouldn't even want to go to the office. Like, I just every day would
even
just
if you
be
love
worst.
Baseball and you love playing, that would be tough.
It doesn't. I mean, it would be like us doing a radio show and finding out that this entire time, it was actually only just 17 people listening this entire time. I'm like, who am I even doing this show for? For the 17 people? Damn. I've just been coming up with 4 hours of things to talk about every day for the last 5 years for 17 of you? Oh, God, this can't be worth it.
From the 816, the White Sox are officially eliminated from playoff contention.
I think they have the lowest total in baseball other than the Rockies for this season. Like, the Rockies are also supposed to be dog crap, but...
Yeah, they're also pretty bad. Pretty poorly run baseball team.
It's a fun park to play at, though.
Oh, up in Coors Field? It's cool.
If you're any other team and you like to hit home runs, I mean...
You guys been to Coors? It's a nice park.
Yeah.
Downtown One Denver time. Or whatever, yeah.
We're talking about all these downtown ballparks.
Well, up next, we've got the latest from Mayor Q, at least, when it comes to the offer he says is on the table for the Kansas City Royals. We'll also work in a little random question of the day next on Cody and Gold.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We'll get to the random question of the day in about 10 minutes or so. But yesterday evening, there was an update from Mayor Quinn Lucas on what he says is an offer on the table for the Kansas City Royals for a potential stadium project. This comes from 41, KSHB 41 here in Kansas City. I believe it was Charlie Keegan was the reporter on this. So I'll just read you a little bit of the article and we can react and go from there. It says that Mayor Quinn Lucas said Tuesday, the city has offered more than $1 billion to the Royals to help the team build a new downtown stadium or renovate Kauffman Stadium. Well, you know, renovation is off the table. So I don't know why, you know.
Maybe he just got used to saying that. Right. I don't know.
Quote from Mayor Lucas in the story. We do have, I think, a very robust offer that combines state and local incentives. It's my view that it gets you a $1.2 to $1.4 billion range with no tax increase. It does not calculate or include the current Jackson County sales tax. We all know what that is. It's the 3/8-cent sales tax that expires, after 2031. It's the whole vote from last April, all of that. So a couple things really were interesting to me, just the way it was laid out. One, if they actually have a $1 billion offer in front of the Royals, and they should
be having meetings on that.
That, and that doesn't include the Jackson County sales tax. So you're telling me they can come up with $1 billion as a city without anything passing in the state legislature, without anything passing through Jackson County legislature or Jackson County? That was
about the original amount they were asking for, as a reminder.
And at the time, I think John Sherman said they were going to put up, like $1 billion plus cost overruns on their end of it. So that gets you over $2 billion. I understand construction costs have gone up. I also understand that the Kansas Star bonds have now offered, 70%. So you're trying to be competitive. I don't know what's true. I don't know what's fake. All I'm saying is, the proposal or the bill that in the end of February, Mayor Lucas and other leaders in Missouri went to Jefferson City in the, I think it's Senate bill, 286, 296, something like that, whatever bill that bill has not even made it to committee. And that was, they were touting as a deal that was better than the Kansas Star bonds. That bill has not even made it through the Missouri legislature. So I don't know.
Could it fly through if the city agrees to their end?
Although we've seen what's happened sometimes in Missouri state legislature, but yes.
This feels like massive, goodwill campaigns on all sides.
Hey, we're trying. We're basically to show that they're trying.
It's like everyone's doing some CYA or something. Yeah. Somebody wants their land sold near the Sprint campus or doesn't want their tenants to know they're moving, but then also the city either really does have some momentum with the Royals, or they want to make it look like if they lost him that they did offer $1 billion and we're not the bad guys. I don't know if the Royals have just been really mum on this, because the truth is, it doesn't seem like the teams specifically, as in John Sherman or Clark Hunt or Mark Donovan, have been like the most consistent sources of information on these things. And John Sherman, by the way, is going to talk today at 1:50. We will carry that live right here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Royals baseball. Q, that all feels, I'll be honest, the way he said all of that is the most, it's a serious cover your ass thing. He said, in my opinion, we have up to 1.2 to 1.4, but also admitted, and it's an offer on the table, but the table the Royals aren't sitting at currently, because he says they haven't looked at it.
And he doesn't know when he's going to hear back.
And he's not sure when he's going to hear back. Right. That'd be like, I mean, by that same logic, you could have an offer for a date out for Sydney Sweeney, but you haven't heard back yet.
I am waiting.
And, anxiously awaiting whether or not she's interested in the date.
Yes, I am waiting.
6 months from now.
Waiting for a while.
And this deadline has been pushed back and pushed. I'll say this. It is really crunch time for the Royals to start hammering in which version of this. I would like it that if they really do have $1.2 to $1.4 billion, that they make a move on this. Look, the fact that the developer said yesterday, we're not currently negotiating with the Royals, tells you that at the very least,
for clarity, the developer you're talking about is the 119th and Nulsa.
Well, and some of the other sites down at Washington Square Park have come back up for sale. So I don't know. Yeah. I feel like more than 72 hours ago, I have less clarity than 72 hours ago, even though there's been 78 reports between that time. I feel like I know less likely where they're going to go. I hope they don't go to 119th and all is my feeling on it. But outside of saying, I hope they don't go there, doesn't actually tell you anything.
Yeah, I think anytime throughout the entire process, not individuals that are reporting anything, but just the actual information that gets out there, including this from last night about the mayor saying that they have they're claiming $1 billion on the table to the Royals for a stadium. Why did that information come out, 8 hours after the mess that was yesterday with everything at the Nulsa site? That's not a coincidence that just happened.
He wasn't
going to
say anything about having $1 billion yesterday until all the other rumors about Kansas started to swirl. The timing of it is obviously related to that.
So anytime information gets put out there, wherever the source of said information is, I'm not talking about those reporting. I'm talking about literally the source of the information. Why does that person want it out there? And you always have to step back and think, whether it's coming from the Royals organization, the mayor's office, a developer, whoever, at state government level, why does that individual or people want the information put out there? Is it a leverage play? Is it CYA, as you said? What is it? Throughout this entire process,
both.
I'm not saying the information is false or inaccurate. I'm just saying, why is that info being leaked out at a certain time? There's a reason for it. There's a motive.
There is. There's always a motive. Because talking is a lot easier than action. And right now, what we are lacking in these stadium deals is any kind of action. Nobody's like signing a lease tomorrow to move their stadiums down there unless I have missed something dramatic. What the most interesting thing I think that could come out of John Sherman today is, can you tell us if you were still in talks with Missouri and Kansas and your preference, right? Like, I'm still talking to both, and he might not say his preference because that kind of tips his hand on which version of this he's kind of going with. He might just have to toe the line because they don't know. But, like, when are you making this decision by? Like, 2 years ago,
well,
there was an original deadline. It was supposed to be the beginning of this year, the beginning of opening day. Opening day's tomorrow, I don't think.
Well, it was supposed to be around the winter meetings at one point in time.
Supposed to be around the winter meetings. Now it'll be July. Does that mean Starbonds, September? Like, you know.
Yeah, on the Kansas side, the star bonds expire, and they can extend them, but they do expire this summer. You know, does that play a huge role in this? Overall, I think people are just so sick of the process. Yesterday just blew up in a huge way, obviously, and then you get the update last night from the mayor's office, or the mayor himself, I should say. And here we are. And yes, John Sherman is going to speak at 150. Like, I'm not expecting him to flat out say,
you see,
yeah.
You're like, you know what, actually, we found our site and this is it.
About time you guys asked me. I was ready to tell you. No, I don't think that's going
to
happen.
I'm waiting to just tell you my very specific plans.
My guess is we're going to hear that they're excited about. They cannot wait to be able to tell us and present to the city their exciting plan. And their goal is to keep the team in Kansas City, all this, and like they can't wait. And we've got a great plan for the community that benefits everybody involved. Yeah, that's probably what we're going to hear at 150. I'll be pleasantly surprised if we find out there's a timeline. I'm on the timeline. Like, yeah, we actually think we are going to be able to tell you in blank month.
I genuinely have a hard time believing that we're going to get firm details on it. Look, we're going to bring it to you because maybe we're wrong. And he gives us, and some of this, you know, works. You got to like listen to the things they're saying and try to make your own inferences based off of what they're telling you. But this time, like, that's part of it. That's what I'd love to know from John is, like, why do these decisions keep getting pushed back? Because, and the truth is, do you know why? I think the reason why it keeps getting pushed back for the Royals, if you made me, like, answer for John, and I was guessing, I still think he wants what he originally promised. I think John Sherman wants nothing more at his core than to have downtown baseball or near downtown baseball in KC, and he's been dragging this thing out to avoid taking the money from Kansas and going the let's go in a neighborhood route. I think he wants the thing he said first, Gold. I think that's what his true desire is in a new stadium for the Royals. He knows he might be forced into taking, and he's trying to drag it out as long as possible to try to get the money from Missouri and Kansas City instead, is my guess. But also, like, I don't know, is Q really got that $1 billion? Because then maybe, you know, it doesn't have to keep waiting. How much of that money do you think is, like, truly earmarked?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. I'd be completely speculating. I have no clue. My question more is about in February, they were very proud to come out quickly after the Kansas Starbond stuff again and say, hey, we got something that rivals that, if not better. And we were in Jefferson City, and here's the bill we put together, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to be able to create this district, yada, yada, yada. That bill hasn't moved at all. What's up with that?
It's not even in it, like you said. It's not even in a committee, and we don't have to go back to Capitol Hill and play the.
I'm just good, Bill. Capitol Hill, yeah.
Schoolhouse Rock stuff, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. Get back there and explain how that works. But not being in committee is too low.
That's
too low. It needs to go through other steps before we can get to the next stage of it.
That's right.
Random question.
For you, Gold, for you, Drew, over in the text line, 913-586-7965. Of course, the random question of the day is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Results every week, then receive free support for life online at awaken180weightloss.com. Question I have for you today is related to something my kids were asking me. They're on spring break. Later, I think, than most of the city for whatever reason.
Oh, yeah. On the Kansas side, most of them are done now, right?
Also, by the way, both my kids have officially reached enough of those major saver cards to go on the limo.
I got mine in the mail the other day.
So we're squared away. Did you use it yet?
I have not.
I've used mine already.
It came in the mail. I'm glad they hit the goal. Yeah, the one I bought, it came in the mail. I looked at it. I would say there's three that I think I truly will use.
If you use all three of those, you've gotten your money's worth. So it doesn't really, you know, this works.
I do like that it came in the mail. You didn't have to deal with it. Make it easy on you.
No, do you have to hand it out to people, find it, deliver it? That's a pain in the ass. I'm not, you know, like now that it just gets mailed directly to you, problem solved. Mm-hmm. Also, quickly on Desmond. First, he's struggling in the week off from his it's been tough. He keeps getting on his school iPad because they play a game together every once in a while on there that's like, you know, like a math-based game.
Okay.
The first day after school when spring break started, they played, and the next day they played a little bit. She hadn't been getting on there.
Can I ask a dumb question?
Yeah.
How did they know when to get on the app at the same
time?
Well,
they had agreed before they went to school to get on right away. Like right after school.
Like, he was like, I have to get... They're not texting each other, so how are they...
No,
how are they?
He's like, I have to get on my school iPad. We are playing this game together. Okay. And then, because it's for kindergartners or whatever, they have limited chat functionality on
there. What I'm saying, though. Like, what if one of them just didn't get on? There's no way to get a hold of each other.
Well, no, that's the problem. It's like he's just randomly getting on there and hoping she's on there, and it's just not... It's not working out. Also, yesterday, he said, hey, have you ever kissed a girl? I said, yeah. You know, like your mom. He's like, no, have you ever kissed other girls? I said, yes. And he said, how many? I said, dude.
Nobody's keeping count necessarily.
I said, when I was like 15 or something, I said, I don't know. I said, some. I don't know.
Did he ask your wife the same thing?
He said he'd heard that somebody once kissed five girls and asked if I'd kiss that many. I'm like, I'm not getting into this.
Did he ask your wife?
You're asking too many questions.
Did he ask your wife the same thing?
He's only asking me.
That's great.
He's only trying to figure out.
So what's the random question of the day?
Not related to that.
Oh, I thought that was the question. I was like, that's the question?
God, could you even keep track?
No.
You know what? We'll make it about this anyway, even though we won't make it about the number of people. But we will make it about that just for the sake. I had something else, but it's still fun to do this. All right. So now, new random question today brought to you by Awaken 180. Explain the circumstances surrounding your first kiss and whether you think that moment went as well as you hoped it would. I can explain mine. My first kiss was in eighth grade. I don't know. One of those two.
Yeah.
It was after a field trip to the zoo.
This is fun.
It was in the basement of my, you know, like her parents' house. And she made the move. I did not make the move. I didn't think that was, it was, you know, a kiss was...
This is on the lips, correct? This is not a cheek, correct?
No, on the lips, you know, like we kissed for a little bit, right? Or whatever. Okay. After a field trip to the zoo, I went to her house and we hung out for a little bit. And we kissed for a while an episode of When Animals Attack played.
What?
I'm not kidding.
Oh my goodness.
Those are the exact circumstances surrounding my first... That's a pretty memorable one.
You remember everything.
It's a first kiss.
I'm laughing. So I didn't know that was your answer, obviously. I'm laughing because you said field trip was involved, and that's what's hilarious about this. So this was fifth or sixth
field
grade.
Field trip for you too?
Worlds of Fun.
Worlds of Fun. Classic.
At Worlds of Fun. Nice. It was a joint field trip with another school as well. And it's something for whatever. We started talking on the bus on the way there. And
from a girl with another school?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And so at Worlds of Fun is actually where it happened.
Do you even know her name?
No.
Hang on. You didn't know this person until you got on the bus?
No, we were at the Fury of the Nile, right after the Fury of the Nile.
Dude.
You picked. That was quick.
Fury of the Nile, man.
You remember.
Yeah, but like it's crazy because it's a girl from another school. He never saw her again. He doesn't know the name of the person who's his first kiss. That's interesting.
Do you think you ever knew her name, or you just?
Oh, I'm sure. Then he probably did. They were chatting.
Yeah, I had a cell phone at the time, so we texted or whatever. This was in, you know, what year? I mean, this is like a 2000 and what would that been? 2002 or something? I don't even know what the right year would be. Yeah, no, I don't remember the name.
I was 7.
I mean, I know the name of the person, but we went to school in middle school and high school. Like, I knew this person for like a serious length of time after that.
Excellent. Go ahead, Drew. What's your answer?
Mine is seventh grade or sixth grade. It was one of the two. I can't remember, but I do remember where it was. I do remember the exact situation. So, girls' basketball in high school typically continued after boys. It was boys' basketball, then girls' basketball.
And you were on the basketball team?
I was on the basketball team. So my mom played college basketball and everything. She assistant coached the same middle school team for the girls' side. So we would go and we would be like the scout team for the girls, essentially. I would just go and hang out at shoot baskets, and then if they needed me to run 5v5 against somebody, I would do it. During one of the practices, me and one of the players, we were all just chatting in the back. It was like a water break or whatever. And there was a little bit of a moment where it just happened, you know? We were
Do you remember her name?
Hanging out in the hallway.
text okay. line 913-586-7965. Someone says there's a first kiss with Jessica Simpson's Rolling Stone poster. Great, okay. great time.
Yeah. But that's exactly what I was looking says for.
All,
but okay.
Someone says all win this. This one also has to do with Worlds of Fun. What is Worlds of Fun? Jeez. Someone says
field trips just get kids in the yeah, mood. Apparently.
From the 816. Someone said they'll win this. Dated one girl in seventh grade. Had it planned out for weeks to kiss on the top of the Mamba. Said and she screamed weeks. In my mouth.
Oh man!
Well, it's funny. Probably at that point, like it was a time you knew you were away, so like you had an opportunity. Maybe you couldn't. You know, I mean, like that makes a little more sense.
I don't know, man. When I was says, growing up, you could just like be in people's basements at that age. You know, like
there was
no like. I mean, I could just get to a girl's house.
Hang on,
in the sixth, seventh, eighth grade.
If you're, but this is the so. If you're with a girl, we had to, the door was always open. At least if I was yeah. hanging out with a girl and happened to be at that, my place,
that girl's parents was her basement was through the garage through a closed door. There was no, there were no like, no open door. My parents also did not door. Have my parents did not have an open door policy. Gotcha. Tap household. I know some people's parents do. My parents did not have that.
Gold, yours is basically in a public setting, correct? Or were you privately?
Yeah, but we're talking about we weren't. Come on, now.
No. I know. That. I'm just.
He's
saying,
not saying he got hot.
Yeah,
no,
we're just. Far. Yeah,
no.
You acted like it was like no, public. No, like no.
I'm saying
getting after it.
No, I'm saying Cody was in a basement behind a closed door. Like he.
My first kiss was more of a like we made out for a little while.
Yeah, you're in a private spot where I same situation. I'm in a hallway. I'm making sure that I'm not. We're not. By anybody, you know.
Someone else said they someone said their first kiss was at a Super Bowl party, the Super Bowl in which Prince performed. Were you just like a party with friends, party with family? What was the
like some friends' kids come over or something? You know, like a family friend kids or whatever it is.
Someone says Cody's son is my hero on the text line.
I feel like he's gonna be a problem in the dating arena. His interest in and he also, by the way, that was the other thing he told me, by the way. Third update on Desmond. So he came back on Thursday or Friday last week before spring break. And he said, hey, he's always so like, he's always such a deep thinker. He said, hey, I'm a little worried that maybe I can't keep staying friends. He said her name, right? I can't keep staying friends with her. And I was like, well, why? He said, I found out she's lying to her parents about the boyfriend and girlfriend thing. She's telling him that we're not boyfriend and girlfriend, and we are. So he's lying to her parents. I was like, oh my God, dude.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
He's really thinking this whole thing out.
Yeah, he is in deep constantly. I can't believe this is the longest relationship of all time for two kindergartners. They've been hanging out for like 2 months at this point.
I think it's going to go.
This is crazy.
What happens in 2 months when school's over?
I don't know. I've never met her parents.
This is going to go
well. Whatever they do, they are. This thing's going to fizzle. Summer's going to kill it.
It's going to go one of two ways, Cody, where he is dedicated to this girl forever, or he's just going to become a player. By the time he hits high school, it's going to be it's going to be an issue.
I don't know, man. I'm worried about it. I'll say that. The concern level is definitely there.
That is the random question of the day. A quick pivot on the random question of the
day. You know what? You'd mentioned it, and then I was like, I kind of want to go that direction now that we talked about it. That's all. Made it interesting. And I think it's interesting that you didn't know you don't know the name of the girl. What's she look like, you know? Do you remember? No chance. That's so long ago.
Blonde hair, brown hair.
No, actually
brown hair.
Brown hair, yeah. Yeah, I don't remember.
Just hit it off on the school field trip, you know?
Well, we never hung out again.
Well, I hit it off with that.
So then,
that 2 hours.
Worlds of Fun. That's three field trip mentions.
Do kids still
story.
Do kids still take field trips to Worlds of Fun?
Well, if that's a text line, I don't know.
My kids.
You tell me you got kids.
So
think
far,
does their school
they
do it?
Pretty much the same ones every year, depending on the grade. So like kindergarten was the apple orchard. This year, I believe my daughter is going to the Folly.
Oh.
They went to maybe the Coterie last year. So just like a different play based one. I don't remember.
We did, I think the zoo, Oceans of Fun, or not Ocean, you know, World of Fun, Oceans of Fun, whatever. And we did one like Steamboat Arabia, which have they decided to move out of town yet or not? Weren't they threatening to go to like St. Charles or something?
The zoo was always a popular field trip.
Yeah, that's a classic. That's first grade, actually, the zoo for my kids.
Gotcha.
It was first grade for my daughter anyway. So that was one. Because remember, I was a... Do you remember? They asked me to be the... I had to be the caboose. Yeah. I had to be the person at the back of
and
the line.
And you said you had to handle a situation or something. I can't remember what it was.
It was, you know, there was some slightly Trouble kid in the back.
Coming up next, guys, we're going to get to the 1 o'clock hour. We'll talk more about the NCAA tournament because we will not do this tomorrow due to opening day and everything. We'll be full go Royals tomorrow on the show. Let's talk about the Sweet 16, how we see that playing out. And we're bringing back the snitch line, which maybe this is perfect considering the conversation we just had. Snitch line is coming your way around 110, 115. Start sending those in to 913-586-7965. That's coming up next on Cody and Gold.